shades of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior.
If we have any first-time visitor that's visiting with us today, that's good to see everyone today in church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's a sign-up sheet for our up-and-coming. I think it'll be our first responder appreciation day on the 24th, which is next Sunday. If the Lord doesn't come on the 23rd, amen. We'll have a first responder appreciation day. We had invited fire stations and police stations to come and come by. We're going to feed them. If they come by, we'll feed them, give them a plate and things like that. Appreciate them for what they do. It's going to be this coming Sunday. So there's a sign-up sheet outside if you would like to bring something. Just put your name there, put down what you're going to bring. So not everybody brings the exact same item. Amen? That's the purpose of that. Ask the ladies and they know. What else do we have?
All right, we have a scripture reading, Brother Raul. Let's everyone stand for the reading of God's Word.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. As we read from it, pray that thy Spirit would reveal those truths that has in your Word. For your word is truth. I'm reading today Ephesians 4, 1 through 17, and then close with verse 30. Here Paul implores with believers who are in Christ to live for Christ. So that applies to us too. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended when, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of which they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walked, but in futility of their mind. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. God bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and take a couple minutes. Welcome everybody. See, when we slide down. Offertory hymn at the cross. Brother Steve. Have a special by Sister Ruth first, and then we're going to have Brother Johnny come up and perform his special.
I'm sorry, and he said you've done nothing wrong. Have you failed to meet the standards that you thought you should attain? To hear him call your name, saying you are loved beyond your failures, you are loved beyond your past. The hope that you imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with no conditions. You are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved. Have you seen your life be torn apart by things you could not help, until you finally reached the point where you could only blame yourself? Have you laid your head to sleep and think you'll always be alone? Then awaken to his voice calling you home, saying you are loved beyond your failures, you are loved beyond your past. The hope that you've imagined is now reality at last. You are loved with no conditions, you are loved with no remorse. The scars of your forgiveness are engraved upon the Lord. You are loved. Jesus paid it all to him I owe.
Good morning, everyone. You know, I know parents, I know like that, you know, if your children had a birthday or for Christmas, that you give them a gift. And I know for a fact that you're not, later on when you get mad or upset, you're not going to take it back, are you? Amen? But you see, if you belong to God this morning, if you love God, He has given you to His precious Son, Jesus Christ, as a gift from His love. Amen. And I know for a fact that He's not going to take it back. Please. He said, those whom you have given unto me, now I pray. Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, and may they love one another and be one as we. Are the gift from the Father to the Son. We are trophies of grace for the family of Jesus as one. We shall behold His glory through eternity. Oh, blessed promise, we with Him shall be. Oh, now I gave them your word, and they have believed. Now this old world has hated them, because your word they receive. Now, Father, those whom you have given, where I am, now may they be, that they may behold my glory, all that thou hast given me. Sirs, we are a gift from the Father to the Son. We are trophies of grace for the battle that Jesus has won. We shall behold His glory now through eternity. Oh, blessed promise, now we with Him shall be. Church,
we are the gift.
Now we are the gift.
From the Father to the Son.
From the Father to
we
the
are Son.
Glory and praise.
For the
we shall behold His glory through eternity. Now, oh, blessed promise, now we with Him shall be. We shall behold His glory now through eternity. Oh, blessed prophet, now we with Him shall be. We will see you one day, dear Jesus. We will see you.
Yes, we will, beloved. Hold on to that victory. Praise God.
The Varis would like to extend their invitation for tonight for Sister Risa's birthday. So I invite you to come to our evening service. They will be providing some food if you were to come tonight. Sister Risa and Brother Dom DeVera had wanted to extend their invitation to the church for the evening service tonight. There will be food being served. Amen. So make sure you're here for that. 1 Samuel chapter 10 now, looking at verses 1 through 8. Many of you have heard of the identity theft that may be happening as we speak, as that one of the credit reporting agencies had a breach. And so many of you may be scared of getting your identity taken. If there was a thief that gets a hold of your social security number, your name, your full name, your home address, your birthday, pretty much that person can become you. Okay? So please be careful. Take the measures, the proper measures to protect your credit, protect your identity. Go to one of the reporting agencies and put a block on your credit score or something like that. But the question is it possible for a man to live another man's life? Is it possible to become someone that you're not? Look at our text in 1 Samuel chapter 10. Reading from verses 1 through 8, just follow along with me. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord had anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zilzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father had left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet the three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands." After that, this is Samuel is speaking to Saul. "After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come there to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them. And they shall prophesy." And notice verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them." And I want you to notice that phrase, "and shall be turned into," what does that say? "Another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go up before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days thou shalt tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." We come to the point now where Samuel anoints King Saul to be the first king of the nation of Israel. Let me pray. Father, I pray that you be the teacher of your holy word today. Help me to compose my nerves, and to clarify my thoughts, but more importantly, to purify my heart as I deliver the message that you've given that you're about to give your people today. Father, if there's anyone here that's not saved, I pray, Lord God, that they may come to the saving knowledge of you. And if there's any Christian here that's discouraged, may you encourage that individual today. May everything that we do today be acceptable and be glorifying your name. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Chapter 10 begins with the anointing of King Saul in verse 1. We'll study this text first, verse by verse, and I will help you to understand what the text means and how it applies to us. But our message this morning is entitled, "Turned into Another Man," from verse 6. Turned into another man. Follow along with me in verse 1. The Bible says, that Samuel takes a vial of oil. Now that vial of oil, the anointing of a king, go to Exodus chapter 30 first so that you'll understand what that means. Exodus chapter 30, verses 23 all the way to 33. Just follow along with me. Exodus chapter 30. So you begin from the book of Genesis, then you turn to the book of Exodus. Second book of Moses. Go to verse 30. Chapter 30 and verse 23. Here is a commandment of how to anoint someone in consecration for the service of God. In Exodus, it says, "Thou shalt also take unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels. So there's this oil that they pour on King Saul is composed of three different spices. One is myrrh, the other one is sweet cinnamon, and then the third one is sweet calamus. In verse 25 of Exodus, "And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil." So, and this oil, what the purpose of this oil in verse 30 is to anoint Aaron and the priesthood and his sons. And the Bible says to consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest office. Back then, the only position that God had was the office of the priest. In our text in 1 Samuel chapter 10, the second office is being started, and that is the office of the king. So first you have the office of the priest, and now in chapter 10 of 1 Samuel, we are about to look at the office of the king. Now in the Old Testament, you have three offices. If you remember, there's the office of the priest, there's the office of a prophet, and there's the office of the king. Prior to this, there had only been two. There was a prophet and there was a priest. But now the third office is being put into place, and that is the office of the king. But to anoint a king, to anoint this king Saul, an oil that we have seen in Exodus chapter 30 is being poured unto him. And watch the manner of how this pouring happens. Go to Psalm 133. Psalm 133 verses 1 to 3. In Psalms 133 verses, actually starting with verse 2, go to the book of Psalms 133 verse 2. Picture this in your minds. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. So when the priest anoints somebody, in our case, the king, the first king of the nation of Israel, when he pours that oil on top of his head, it starts from the top of his head. And as a Jew, the Jews were not allowed to cut their hair. You know that, right? They were not allowed to cut the corners of their head. And so the high priest would pour and anoint this oil from the top of the head of King Saul, and it comes down and fills up his entire body down to the ground. You'll find one of the Marys. She did the exact same thing to Jesus Christ. Remember, she had this expensive this balm, this apothecary that was cost in her entire living for an entire year of a salary. She anoints the feet of Jesus Christ in the same manner. And then remember how she brushed his feet with her hair with that. That's an important thing to begin in the anointing of the king. Look at verse 1 again. So Samuel takes this vial of oil and pours it upon the head of King Saul and kisses him on the head and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be a captain over his inheritance?" So the first king of Israel gets anointed. Now in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1, we find that before a man uses God into his ministry, he needs to be anointed. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is God is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to blind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Which was a prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says that how God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus Christ himself was anointed just as King Saul was anointed. And then he says, Saul, you are to be the captain over God's inheritance. Now, God's inheritance is the nation of Israel. Go to Exodus chapter 34, verse 9. Exodus chapter 34, verse 9. God's anointed is the nation of Israel. Let's be patient with me. We'll get to the message. I want us to learn some Bible first before we'll make some spiritual application. God's anointed is the nation of Israel. Exodus 34, verse 9, and he said, if now I found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is the stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity, and take us for thine inheritance. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9, you don't have to turn that, let me read this for you. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Psalm 78, verse 71, the Bible says that Israel is his inheritance. So the inheritance of the Lord is the nation of Israel. Now here's a blessing that you may get from this. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Just as the nation of Israel is God's inheritance, did you know that you and I can become a part of that inheritance? Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Into the New Testament now. Galatians chapter 4. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4, now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, who? We. When we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But notice, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Notice verse 7. You and I can become a part of God's inheritance. Galatians 4:7 says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see, we become a part of God's inheritance through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2 now. And then Samuel tells King Saul, now I want you to go on your way to the city of God, to the hill of God. And there in verse 2 now of our text, 1 Samuel chapter 10, King Saul is told to walk all the way to the hill of God. And along the way, Samuel tells him, you're going to come across a man or two men right by Rachel's sepulcher. And notice what these two men will do. These two men will tell you that the animals that you were looking for have been found. And then after that, in verse 3, Samuel tells King Saul, after those two men, you will come across three men. And these three men, they will be carrying three kids or a young goat. It's a young goat. And they will be carrying three loaves of bread and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute you and he'll give you two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hand. Here's the first thing that we'll learn about the kingship or the recognition of the kingship of King Saul. Here, three men are carrying three loaves of bread and they will give two out of three to King Saul. That's two-thirds given to this human leader. Now, I want you to imagine, for example, a tax of 2/3 from your salary. How many of you would like to be taxed 2/3 of your salary? And you say, well, that is absurd. It's bad enough that we're paying 20%, 30% tax. But notice the kingship of the first king. He will be given 2 out of 3 of your income. Imagine that. The kind of kingship that God places and God gives to the nation of Israel under King Saul is that he will be a king that will tax them 2/3. Imagine that. 2/3 of your house, 2/3 of your income, 2/3 of your animals that you own will belong to this king. If you are not careful, in the second coming of Jesus Christ, in the end, there will be a king. Not a God's anointed king, but a king that is appointed by men. And the characteristic of this king in the book of Revelation is he will take 2/3 of everything that you own. Imagine that. Look at verse 5 now. Now, needless to say, and we complain about tithing and offering, right? We say, well, 10% is too much, 50% is too much, I can't afford that much. And then you pay your taxes to the government, which is at least 15%. You don't complain. Amen? But when it comes to the house of God, the providing for the house of God, the providing for the ministry, we cry out and we say, I can't afford to give for the work of God. Amen? Look at verse 5 now. Now that you're getting mad at me, let me continue. Verse 5. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God. Now, this hill of God is a place where King Saul would be beginning his rulership. In this king, this hill of God, in chapter 13, we find him hiding in this hill, and where Jonathan begins to battle against the Philistines. But I want you to know that there's a place called the hill of God. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 6, turn there with me. Let me give you something that is doctrinal. There's a place that will be called the hill of God. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 6, it gives you this hill of God, the location of it. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 6, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. In Psalm chapter 24, verse 3, he says, you don't have to turn there. Psalm chapter 24, verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? In Psalm 68, verse 16, why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The Bible says it is the hill of Zion. Now, there will come a time when Jesus Christ will come back down the second time and will establish his kingdom, his rulership on this hill of Zion. But I want you to notice in verse 5, Watch verse 5. Here's the problem. When Saul comes up to this hill of God, you know what he finds there? Look at the Bible with me. Look at verse 5. So King Saul goes up to this hill, also known as the hill of God. But you know what he finds there? What does it say in verse 5? Where is the garrison of the Philistines? I mean, King Saul was told to go up to this hill where he's supposed to begin his kingdom, his rulership. But on this hill is the garrison of the Philistines. We find Jonathan going into battle with this and destroys this garrison of the Philistines in chapter 13. We'll get there when we get there. But first thing, what I want you to notice is this. The closer you get to God, here's the lesson. The closer you get to God, the more battles you will face. Amen? Let me say it again. Christians today, the more you choose to get closer to God, the more you begin to know God, the more you begin to serve God and choose to serve God, the more oppositions you will face. In the same token, if you don't want any problems in your life, if you don't want any hardships in your life, don't become a Christian. Don't try to serve God. Because it is guaranteed that the moment you serve God, and you may be thinking, Pastor, why are you telling me this? Why are you telling me not to serve God? Because I am warning you about the truth. I am warning you. When you decide to become a Christian, the first thing that you will experience is opposition. Amen? And after that, when you decide to live a holy life, that holy life will not be a walk in the park, so they say. The Christian life will not be a walk in the park. You will not be laying down on beds of roses. As a matter of fact, the closer you get to God, the more problems, the more oppositions you will have. Amen? How many of you can testify to that? Many Christians today would rather not serve God, are discouraged by oppositions. Why? Because it's hard. Because the Christian life is hard and it is difficult. Amen? I mean, just think about the things that you cannot do as a Christian. Just think about the things that you have to do because you are a Christian. It's not easy. It's easier to just live just like everyone else. I'll tell you, when I answer the call to pastor, I wish I could tell you that my life is easier now. It's not. It's harder. It is more difficult. I have more gray hair now than I did 2 years ago. I'm losing more hair now than 2 years ago. I have palpitations more than I had 2 years ago. If I'm not watchful, you know, I can slowly, very easily begin to fall apart. But that's the price that you pay when you decide to serve God. Amen? And then notice, look at our text with me. That's just a little side note. Amen? And after that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, when you get to that city, thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place. Oh, can I encourage you today, Christians? When you decide to serve God, when you get closer to God, oh yes, there will be oppositions. But along the way, God will bring people to your life who will be encouragement. Who will be an encouragement to you. Amen? King Saul, as he goes up to this hill where he was about to begin his kingship, where the garrison of the Philistines were, God brings him a company of fellow prophets. And I say fellow prophets. And look what these fellow prophets do. They bring psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp. What are those? Those are musical instruments. You know what you need as a Christian today? When you begin to feel opposition, when you begin to feel discouragement, you know what you need? You need to have a song in your heart. You need to have a song in your heart that will lift you up. That's why you need to come to church. And don't come late for the preaching. Come for the singing first before the preaching. You know why? Because you need encouragement. You need a song in your heart to get you through this Christian life. Amen? How many of you like to sing in the bathroom in the shower? Amen? Raise your hand up. I can tell you this. If you are a Christian today and you cannot sing, Brother Pastor raising his hand, if you cannot sing in the shower, something is going on wrong in your life. Amen. Characteristic of a joyous Christian, a Christian that is filled of the Holy Spirit, is there is always a song in that Christian's heart. Amen. Look at the text now. And then these company of prophets, Samuel tells King Saul, they will bring all of these musical instruments and then they shall prophesy. This is the reason why when you come to church, we have to sing first before you hear preaching. Before prophesying, we have to lift up our voices. We need to encourage one another with our songs. Amen? With hymns and spiritual songs. And then the Bible says that they shall prophesy. This company of prophets shall prophesy to Saul. And then verse 6 says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them. In this moment, King Saul not only did he become a king, he also became a prophet. He became one with the prophets. When he heard the music, when he heard the prophesying, the Spirit of the Lord came upon King Saul, and he began to prophesy also. Here's something that happens to you and me as a Christian. When you hear the Word of God, the Spirit of God will come upon you, and you too can begin to preach. But here's something that's even more important that happens to King Saul. The Bible says, he and you shall be turned into another man. And that's interesting reading, because King Saul's reputation in the Old Testament is somewhat negative. But before we tear up the character of King Saul, I want you to know, oh no, King Saul wasn't that bad. He became a prophet. The Spirit of God was with him. He was a transformed man. He was a renewed man. He was a revived man before God called him into kingship. Yeah. The Spirit of the Lord was with him. And he was about to be turned into another man. Let me skip all through this and get to our message. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know what the Bible says? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 6:15 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And that's what happens here to King Saul. He begins his kingship by turning into another man. So it is possible for a man to become another man. Amen? But here's the message. It is possible for a man to become another man. But you know what the problem is this. Here's our application for this morning. The problem is when man tries to change himself by himself. There's one thing I learned and I've seen in this world, that man cannot change on his own. Man cannot change on his own. You know, I've been around people that are being incarcerated, and you would think that incarceration will change a man. And guess what? It does not. I've been around people that have lost their loved ones because of their sin, because of the things that they do. And I would imagine that man can be changed by the life circumstances. But you know what I realize? Man does not change and cannot change on his own and by himself. Romans chapter 7, listen to what the chief of the apostles said. Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, Paul said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If I then do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. That it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You know what Paul is saying? Paul, the chief of the apostles, the one who wrote majority of the New Testament, is saying, when I try to change myself, I cannot change myself. Even when I want to change, I fail in my efforts to change myself. You see, when man tries to change himself in appearance, in status, man will fail. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You cannot change yourself. You may be here today thinking, oh, I'm trying to live a good life. I'm trying to change my life. I'm trying to live a life that is pleasing to God. I will tell you, you will fail. every man will fail. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. When man tries to change himself by himself, he will fail. Point number one. Man cannot change himself. Every religion teaches and tells man that as long as you do this, as long as you don't do that, you can be pleasing to God. You can go to heaven. Oh, no, you can't. If you offend in one of the law, you break all of the law. Amen? Secondly, not only does man try to change himself, when mankind realizes that he cannot change himself, you know, I've seen many men. I've talked to many men who would say, you know, I shouldn't have done that. When I get out of jail, I will become a new man. 2 years after, a year after, sometimes 6 months after, I see that same man. I look at them in the face and they say, I thought you said you weren't going to do it again. I thought you said you weren't going to beat up on your wife again. And you know what that man says? You know what? I got upset. I got mad. It just happened. Now I'm back here again. But next time, I won't do it again, I promise. I won't do it again. You'll never see me here again. This place is a horrible place. You know what happens to that man? A year after, that same man is back there again. That's 99% of people that are institutionalized. And the government makes all kinds of attempts, sets up all kinds of programs, educational programs, welfare programs, schooling, all kinds of things to try to educate them, to try to change them, to try to make them a better citizen of the society. You think they do? What happens? Oh yes, some of them will go through those programs. They will go through the AA. They will go through the whatever the society offers today. They'll get their GED. You know what happens? They'll come back the following year. And then the following year. And then the following year. It's called recidivism. And the society and the government and the politicians and your elected leaders are confused. They have no idea why is this happening to our society. This is happening to society because man cannot change himself. Man will never change. Ladies, you try to change your husband, you can't change that man. He's made up on his own. Secondly, here's the worst thing. Not only does man try to change himself, man tries to change God. You say, where, Pastor? Go to Romans chapter 1. Man tries to change himself and he fails, so he decides, if I cannot change myself, I will change God. Romans 1:23, look at this. Well, starting with verse 20. Romans chapter 1, notice man tries to change God. Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 20, the Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, it became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then look at verse 23. I want you to see three ways that man tries to change God. Look at verse 23 first. Verse 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. You know what mankind tries to do after trying to change himself and find that he cannot change himself? Man tries to change God. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Then they try to change the truth of God. They try to change the Holy Bible. Verse 29, they change the natural use into that which is against nature. Oh man, when he fails to change himself, mankind then tries to change God. You know what people say today? Oh, they're not harming other people when they try to change their bodies. They're doing it to themselves. That's not harmful. Don't get mad at that. Don't preach against that. But Romans chapter 1 says that when you try to change God's creation, you are trying to change the God of creation. Amen? If God made you a man and you try to change your manhood into womanhood, you're not just changing yourself. You're trying to change God's creation. And in essence, you're trying to change the God of creation. Amen. You better say amen to that. In the next few years, that will be called hate speech. Amen? Well, you know, people say, well, there's nothing wrong with having a sex change, being a transgender. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm doing it to myself. It doesn't affect you. But you know what the Bible says? So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Genesis 1:27. When man tries to change God's creation, man is trying to change the God of creation. Amen? Man tries to change God. They want the God that they can manipulate, just like Dagon. They want the God that is at their convenience. They want the God that they can do with or without. Do you realize God is the unchanging God? He is the Alpha and Omega. You cannot change God, and you should not change God, nor His creation. And then finally, not only, so first man tries to change himself, he fails. Then man tries to change God, he fails too. He will fail too. You know why? Because only God changes a man. Notice how God changes a man. Back to our text. Here's our message. I have a 3-point message that I'm about to deliver in 5 minutes. How God changes a man. First of all, verse 5 says, and they shall prophesy. God changes a man through the word of God. The only way that God can change a man is through the word of God. Psalm 119 verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jeremiah 3:15 says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Man will not change apart from the word of God. You know, the only people that I've seen that actually change in my contacts are those that got saved. Those that would get saved, they eventually go on to the society, completely change. But everybody else that goes through the programs and the systems of the government, they don't change. But those that get saved, those that come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, those are the only ones that in my experience, I see truly change. And the one factor that changes them is the Word of God, prophesying. Secondly, the second thing that changes a man and how God changes a man is by the Holy Spirit of God. In verse 6, the Bible says, and that the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. When Jesus Christ was departing after he, as he got closer to his death, he said, I will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know who he's talking about? The Holy Spirit of God. The second thing that can only change a man is not only the Word of God. The second thing that can change a man is when the Holy Spirit of God lives inside that man. That's why Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. To a creature, you cannot change yourself. It is the Holy Spirit of God that changes you from within. Oh, many churches today, they try to tell people how to live their lives. They try to teach standards. And a lot of churches will conform to the church standards. But unless the change comes from within, that will not be a changed man. Change must come from the Holy Spirit within you. Amen? That's why I will never tell the ladies how to dress. I will never tell the men to wear a necktie in church. I will never do that. Why? That's none of my business. If God wants to change you, He has to do it through the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you. Amen? And then thirdly, here's how God changes a man. God changes a man through the preaching of the Word of God. God changes a man by His Holy Spirit. And thirdly, God changes a man in His presence. Look at the text, verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 10, and let it be when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee. What does he say in verse 7? For God is with thee. Did you know that you become, or at least look alike, the person that you spend most of your time with? Did you know that? That's why you look at the couple that's been married for so long, it's easy to think that they're brothers and sisters. Amen? Look at, how many of you have been married 40, 50 years? 40 years. 40, 50 years. 30 years. 20 years. I tell you this, you look like your spouse. Why? No, really. Don't take it to the offense. I'm sorry, ladies. But I'm not talking about the appearance. I'm talking about your demeanor, your face, the glow on your face is just like your spouse. Why? Because the ladies are like, no. The men are thinking, no. No, you do. You do. You'll never be able to tell, but someone who's looking at you, who's been looking at your life, your children will tell you that. Your own children. But you become and look like the person you spend most of your time with. Ever heard of the saying, birds of the same feather flock together? Right? But here's the point. The only way how God changes a man is not only through the Word of God, not only by the Holy Spirit of God in him, but by being present in his life. Let me say it again. Go to Revelation with me. Let me close with this. Revelation chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. Here's how you can change, or how God can change you. Look at verses 3 and 4. You say, Pastor, that's not biblical. I don't look like my spouse. No, my point is, you become and look like the person you spend most of your time with. That's my point. Look at verses 3 and 4 of Revelation chapter 22. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and whose name shall be on their foreheads? His name shall be on their foreheads. See, the more you spend time with whoever that person is, the more you look like that person. The more you act like that person. And if that person happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Which is the case here in Revelation chapter 22. If the more you spend time with Jesus Christ, the more you become like Him. That's how you change as a man. That's how God changes a man. God changes a man through the preaching of the Word of God. God changes a man by the Holy Spirit that lives in him. And then finally, God changes a man by His presence. Are you a changed man? Are you saved today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're out of time. You may not be saved today. You may have been trying your best to live a good life. You love your wife. You provide for your kids. You don't commit crime, and you're trying your best to live a good life. You'll fail. Because man cannot change himself. The heart of man is desperately wicked. That's what the Bible says. Secondly, you cannot change God. You cannot change God in a box so you can manipulate Him at your convenience. Why don't you let Him change you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the piano plays, if you haven't been changed, if you haven't been revived, if you haven't been sanctified or purified, if you haven't been saved, would you come to the old-fashioned altar today? You cannot change yourself. Give it up. And by no means, don't try to change God. God is the God of the beginning. God is the God of the end. He's the Alpha and Omega. You cannot change God. But would you be changed by Him today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you stand to your feet? The altar is open. If you are not saved today, would you come to this old-fashioned altar? And allow God to change you. The altar is open. Is open. God is calling you to serve Him in the ministry. God has called you to be a part of this local body of Christ here in Chula Vista. Would you make a decision today? Would you tell God, Lord, I want you to change me. I'm willing to be changed by you. Lord, I am done. I'm giving up trying to change myself. Would you please change me? Change me. People say, amen. Amen. Come back tonight, 5:30.